It's time once again to tune in to Contrast and Word of God. This is Rightly Dividing Word, a truth radio broadcast. And we're in Lesson 16B. If you remember last week, or last lesson, we had to break it up a little bit, and we did some things a little differently in a way that normally when we go through the contrast in the Word of God, that we give you the prophetic program first, what's going on with the prophecy program, and then in contrast of that is the mystery program. And Lesson 16 in your notes, and if you can go to www.CantonGraceFellowship.org, and you can pull up the notes and all and the contrast of what we're doing. This is a large section in which what we're dealing with in contrasting the Word of God. And last week we went through some things, what the nation Israel was going to do on earth through the Lord Jesus Christ, and what the body of Christ is doing now. So if you will, go ahead and turn to Mark 16. And we left off with the 12 offering the kingdom at hand to Israel. And we found out that through Paul, God through Paul today was proclaiming the gospel, the grace of God to Jew and Gentile alike. Now that's a contrast. It's not a contradiction. Okay? But today on Mark 16, in the prophetic program, in your box, if you will, on your left-hand column, we're going to look at the power to work miracles. Okay, that's what God gave the 12 to do, the power to work miracles. Mark 16. Afterwards, verse 14 says, afterwards he appeared unto the, how many? 11. Okay? As they sat at meat and unbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that which, excuse me, they believed them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, who's them? The 11. Very good. Not you. Now I know there's people out there today said that he's telling you to do this in these books. And what do we find out about rightly dividing word of truth? Who's he talking to? Very good. We all the Bible's for us, correct? But is it all to you?
No.
Not specifically. Very good. And he said unto them, who's them again? You just read it in verse 14. Okay? Just remember that. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, what gospel is here on this earth? The kingdom gospel. Okay? He that believeth and is baptized, he shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Do you know there's a church denomination out there will hold to that. Okay? And it's the Baptists, if you don't mind me saying it. Okay? Verse 17, the power to work miracles. And these signs, who requires signs, guys? The Jews require signs, and Greek seeks after what? Wisdom. You're not a sign type of people. You walk by faith, not by sight. Now, you get on the highways, you're going to drive by signs. Speed limits, exit signs, all that type of things. But that has nothing to do with what this is about. Shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And they drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay on the hands on the sick. And they shall what? Recover. This is what God told, Lord Jesus Christ told who? The 11 to do what? Okay, those work, and that's works of miracles what they do. If you can lay hands on sick, guess what? That's a miracle. If you can raise people from the dead, guess what? That's a miracle. Did they do that?
Yes.
You better believe they did it. They had the power to do that. Okay? The reason then is shown that God's on this earth, God's working through them, and they required signs, because what's the very first sign in your Bible that you can remember that that Israel had?
Moses.
God
gave Moses, told him to use the
Okay, that's right. The very first sign in your Bible was with Moses. He stuck his hand in, come out, and was withered, right? He stuck it back in, come out like a baby. He laid the staff down. It turned into a what? Okay? And it ate two other ones. And we already talked about some things when two... Those magicians created two serpents or snakes, and Moses had one. Don't two always look better than one? In certain, but what did that one do? It ain't. Those two signs is the first signs in your Bible that showed God was with Israel. And from that point on, they required those things. All through the wilderness, He fed them, He clothed them, He walked with them, pillar of smoke, right? Okay, if God wasn't with them, if they didn't see that, guess what they think? God was not with them. I hope that when you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again today, you know that Christ is inside of you. Okay? You have His Word to tell you what to do. You don't need signs, wonders, and miracles. There's people out there today, this man over here that's going to sit right here, the Antichrist, is he's showing signs, lying wonders, and miracles that's going on today. But look at this. The contrast is, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and get Acts 19. 2 Timothy 4. Miracles was shown first as signs as an apostle. So 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 20. Paul had the signs of apostle for a reason, didn't he? Okay? To show that he was an apostle. But look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. If he was commissioned under that commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave him, Mark 16, what does it say in verse 20? Erastus, or Robe at Corinth, but Trophothius have I left at Melinta. What's that word? Sick. Now, why didn't he heal them? By the time you get to Timothy, 2 Timothy, this is the last epistle that Paul's written, okay? And by that time, Paul is ready to be killed. He's at his death. Go to Acts 16. Now, I know what Corinthians says about I will have dreams and visions. Excuse me, revelations and visions. Meaning that God did not, Lord Jesus Christ didn't dump all this information on Paul at one time. That's what we call progressive revelation, okay? He did it for a reason. Acts 19 verse 11. Verse 11 says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchief and aprons and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Maybe I did this a little backwards. Okay? But did Paul have the miracles? Have you ever got a prayer cloth in a mail? You never seen those paper prayer cloths? That's where they get this from. Paul stuck his hand in a viper's nest and it bit him. And he took it off and shook it off, and the people around him thought he was a god. Why could he? This is Acts 19. This is before he wrote the book of Ephesus, or he's writing a book of before he wrote the book of Corinthians. But what do we talk about the book of Acts?
It's a transitional
book. So when God was on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did He work miracles through? The leaven or the nation? Israel. If Israel has fallen, and God chose Paul to be that special apostle for the Gentiles, he has all those wonders, signs, and wonders, miracles. For why? For proof that he was an apostle, that he was sent from God. Okay? Because you know there's false, at the time, and there still are today, there's false teachers out there. Okay? And if you was in that program in times past, you would have to have those signs and wonders and miracles. What God, through Paul, was working to show the Jews, to provoke them to jealousy, that, hey, God is no longer working with you, Israel. Over here in Corinth, they had a Gentile church. Guess what they was doing? Speaking in tongues. You know, and they was laying on hands. And they was doing this and doing a Gentile church. So as they switched, God used those signs to show Israel, not the believing Israel. Okay, you got to separate yourself between the believing Israel in times past with the unbelieving Israel. Because when Paul came to this earth, are there any difference between Jew and Gentile?
No.
What does that mean?
We're equal.
But, I mean, what Jew are you talking about?
Unbelieving.
Thank you. Yeah, okay, thank you. It's not the believing Israel. Because
the kingdom saints that were locked into that program before Paul came.
They're there. But there's some unbelieving Israelites over here, and there's Gentiles over here that does not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if I can say that. Does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So God, Paul, through them, he's got two groups of people he's working with. Yes?
See that Paul's biggest problem was with the Corinthians, they didn't believe his apostleship.
They questioned it.
They questioned him. So in that transition period, God gave them proof because the fallen Jews, they did need a sign.
Yep.
And they couldn't... There's no excuse for them to say, hey, well, he can't be, but he was, because he was able to show them the sign.
And that's why he talked about in 1 Corinthians 1:17-18 and all, he says, 21 says, for Jews require, Christ sent me not to baptize, you know, and all that, but you preach Christ the cross. And as he got that revelation, he those signs diminished. Look at this right quick. Look at Act. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter. Let's see if I can find it. 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If God, through Paul, was working miracles, and he did, you read them, okay, you can't get around that. And don't try to make up excuses. Paul had the signs of an apostle. That's what it's all about. But look at this right here.
Where are we at again?
Second Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1 says, it's not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Okay? That's continuing. And by the time he writes his last epistles, he's got it all. In fact, what does he say in Colossians? That the dispensation of grace that I wrote unto you has fulfilled the Word of God. Paul's writing has fulfilled the Word of God in the dispensation of grace, and you should not look for another canon of Scriptures out there hid in a rock. Okay? There, you have a complete Bible if you want to believe it. But look what he says right here. Verse 5. Well, look at this. Verse 2. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such one caught up into third heaven. Now, how many heavens are there?
Three.
Okay. You know what it means when he talks about in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell?
Yeah.
But wait a minute, he's up in heaven. And he's looking at himself like, am I in a body, out of body? So that tells you something. You break away this crust, this clay shell, you're the same form. And that's why he's looking at himself in the body, I cannot tell. Well, yeah, if you want to say that. He says, verse 3, and I knew of such a man, whether in the body or out of body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. He just couldn't believe it. He was that he was called up into what? Paradise. Now, where was paradise in times past? Okay. Okay, there was two departments down there. Okay. And God took that paradise and he moved it to the third heaven. And he enlarged hell for who?
Non-believers.
For non-believers. Okay? So when people die, they don't go to Abraham's bosom, if you will, like in times past down there in an apartment. Remember the fixed gulf? They could see what was going over and tormenting people. That would be a rude awakening if you saw that today, wouldn't it?
What was that site called?
Soul. Seal is hell. Yes.
In other religions, so to speak, they talk about if you were not really forgiven, or if you died with sin, mortal sin, or I don't know what it is, but what's purgatory?
It's nothing. It's a made up place, so they can get this from you.
It's a business
process. Yep. There's nothing in your Bible, if you believe your Bible, has that in there at all. You either go to heaven or hell.
It's the Catholic Bible that added those other books. Maccabees and all that.
But let's keep reading just for a second. Look at this. Verse 5, and such one will I glory, yet I, of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless, verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He has a change of heart here. Look at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. How many times did he pray to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Three
times for this infirmity to depart from me. And he said, who's that he? God, my grace, excuse me, let me back up here. And he said unto me, go dip yourself seven times in the River Jordan.
No.
Is that what it says?
No.
Go join the church of your choice and believe whatever you want to. You are healed. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what Paul says? No, no, Lord. I protest.
Can I go see Reverend Angel?
Can I go? Yeah. Can I go back over here and go? You know, get back into programs. I have all the signs and wonder and miracle. Why can't I do this? He says, most gladly. Therefore, that's what he says. I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. This is very, very important when you're going out here and saying that Paul, and you got miracles and wonders today. Just rest. It's hard to rest in your infirmities. It's hard to rest in indecisions. It's hard that. You know that. It's easy to say that if you ain't got no problems right now, isn't it? But if you're laying in a bed up there getting ready to die, you're probably crying out for God to do something. Right now, I know where I'm going, and I'd much rather be there than right here today. Not to be selfish, but that's where I would rather be. Because I know where I'm at. Okay? I just got to conform myself to what God is doing for me to have, you know, to understand some things. That's why today you don't have signs, wonders, and miracles. Go back to the prophecy. This ministry, the prophetic ministry, is based on covenants and prophecies. Go to get Isaiah 60 and Acts chapter 3. We've got to move a little quickly. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 verse 1 through 3 says, "Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thee, thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." That's what the prophetic ministry is supposed to be based on, the covenants and the prophetic program, that they're going to be alike. Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. "For Moses truly said unto them, unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Who's the people?
Israel.
"Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many have spoken, likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets." Who's that? Now, I know there's people out there that tells you, "You're the children of the prophets." That's error. Stop spiritualizing things that you're not. Then he keeps saying, "And of the covenants which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto who? You first, God, have raised up His Son, sent Him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from His iniquities." That's what the ministry and base covenants, that's what they're doing. That is based with covenants and prophecies. The contrast, go over here on the right hand of your column, the contrast of that, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Get Romans 16. And Romans 16. Ephesians 1 and Romans 16. See, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you would think this Bible, it's not making sense. And I might just lay it off over there and go on and read my cosmetology or my popular mechanics, you know, or stay on the internet and read whatever you want to read, listen to. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Paul's ministry in the dispensation of grace is based entirely upon the grace of God. Not the prophets, not the covenants, totally upon the grace of God. And this mystery was kept secret until that time. Look at, hold your fingers there in Ephesians, because we're going to go to Ephesians 3. But Romans 16:25 says what? Many of you know this by heart. "Now to Him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." Okay? That's what this ministry is based upon. Something was totally kept secret. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1 through 3. For this call I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. The ministry and the gospel of the grace of God, what God is doing today, is based on the grace of God, and it was based on a mystery kept secret before the world began.
When it says Paul's gospel, we're to follow him as he follows Christ. We're not to follow Jesus directly. Is that correct?
Well, you can follow. Be careful when you say that, because you do follow God. You do follow Lord Jesus Christ directly.
Through Paul.
Through Paul. There you go. God through Paul. Yes. Yeah. Just like people will follow. They say they're following Jesus, but they're following Peter.
Maybe a better word would be a pattern.
A pattern. And he says he's a pattern. Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth. Who did he follow? See? Hey, Lord Jesus Christ had a pattern. Under law.
He's probably the only man that ever existed that never
was one of them. Amen. So you got the ministry based over here in a prophetic program. You got the ministry based today in the prophecy, body of Christ. Go back over here to prophecy. The apostles to Israel alone, and sent to the Jew first. Go to Matthew chapter 10. And you're still in Acts chapter 3? Yes. Okay. Matthew 10 and Acts 3. A lot of this stuff we've done been over and over, but I'm telling you, you have to lay this out in your mind that when those things come up, you know exactly what they're talking about. Matthew 10, 5 and 6. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Got that? Where was their apostleship to?
Israel.
Alone and sent to the Jew, what? First. Go to Acts chapter 3. We just read this. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 25 through 26. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenants which God made unto our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed, unto you first. God has risen up His Son, Jesus, sent Him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Who is that you?
Israel.
Who is that unto you first? Amen. Okay? That's what this is. Gentiles' salvation through Israel. That's what that is. Okay? Their apostleship is to Israel first, and the Jew first, and then what would happen? The Gentiles would be blessed. The Lord Jesus Christ says that He has to feed His flock. He commissioned Peter to what? Feed my sheep. He said that three times. Lord Jesus Christ is feeding that little flock, feeding that little flock, feeding that little flock, so they would be fed. So they could go out and feed somebody else. That's what you're doing here today, basically, if you think about it. The ones that are listening, you're getting fed with the Word of God. Not without staying in contact. You're getting fed, and you can go out and feed somebody else. But until you get full, if you go out there hungry, oh, woe is me, starving to death, and you walk up somebody else starving to death, what are you going to do?
Starve together.
Starve together. You know, and you know, so you have to be fed. We use this analogy all the time when you fly, and The X is on this part of the wing, and the X is on this part of the wing. And if the oxygen mask falls, you put it on your sister first. You put it on you first, so you'll be able to help somebody else. You know, as much as we want to scramble and help our loved ones first, and guess what? You pass out, and they're sitting there terrified. Yeah. On the contrast side, the apostles, look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. On the contrasting with the Word of God, on the body of Christ, we have something different. God, through Paul's apostleship, is to the Gentiles. Romans 11:13 says, "For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." Now, I believe this wholeheartedly. Do you? That verse? Okay. If God don't have a favorite nation, and they've fallen down here amongst the nations, what does nations mean? That's everybody. Or, you just read it. Or, you just read it. I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. That's everybody down here. Follow me? That's why he keeps saying there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. Those books, what do we just read that 2 weeks ago, two lessons ago, in the fact that Romans 9, 10, 11 is dealing with who? Where do you find this verse at? So that's why he's telling us, hey, I'm a saved Israel. I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. That's everybody, unbelieving Israel and nations alike.
So is that what Paul went to Israel first, was to preach to the little flock?
Not to the little flock. See, he went to the unsaved Israel, the apostate Israel. Because he didn't go to the Peter, James, and John, that little flock, and say, hey, you need to get in this program. He went to Peter, James, and John and explained them what God was doing. The little flock goes back to the ones that they saved and writes Hebrews, writes 1 and 2 Peter, and writes James to explain to them what God is going on. I love the fact that Peter says, our beloved Paul that wrote, some of the things that Paul wrote to you, our beloved brother Paul wrote, are hard for you to understand. He says that in 2 Peter. See, why would he say that? Yeah, yeah, but Peter understands. So he writes in 2 Peter the things that Paul wrote unto you. Wonder where that would be. Where did Paul write unto the Jew anywhere?
He did write here in chapter 9, 10, 11.
Bingo. Chapter 9, 10, 11, Paul is explaining to the saved Jew what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. Makes sense to me.
The part is that back in the prophetic program, you have the Gentiles going to the light through the nation of Israel.
That's the ministry based on covenants and prophecies.
All the Jews are coming through the Gentiles for their salvation.
That's to provoke. That's exactly. He says that the nation of Israel is going to be a provoking ministry for the Gentiles. He says through Paul that the Gentiles are going to provoke Israel to jealousy. And that's what is switched around. It's not the saved Jew. Please follow me on that. They're saved. I believe they were saved over here too. All the thing the law did was kept them sanctified. Kept them separated from all the world. Okay? Let's keep moving here. But look, go to Romans chapter 3. Or Ephesians, you read what Ephesians chapter 3 through 9 is. For I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, unto you Gentiles. Okay? His apostleship. We won't look at that again, but look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is what?
No
difference. Now back here you read a little while ago, there is a difference. Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Enter ye not into the city of Samaria. Okay? There was a distinction there. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, would that be the saved Israelites over here, the little flock? You're shaking your head, no. That's the ones that's not saved. When God cut that program off, He cut it off. Well, He postponed it and cut it off, if that makes sense. They have fallen, they've been cast away, but the prophetic program, the kingdom program, is still on, it's on hold right now. It's going to happen. They're waiting for that. That's why they write books about that. They didn't know about this right here until Paul explained to them. When Peter gets that vision for Cornelius, God's telling him, hey, there's a change coming. So when Paul gets to Peter, he knows exactly what Paul's talking about. Hey, I had a vision. And Peter is like, and Paul stood in the face, didn't he? Now you think about that. Paul standing in the face to Peter. Now how many would you stand in the face to your bishop today? You would if I was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I would hope you would. You know? I hope you. We stand side by side. But if I tell you all the time, if you see me change this doctrine, and you know what this doctrine is, because you're a student of the Bible, you better be raising your hand. Say, wait a minute, or grab me in a corner over there somewhere. Where are you going with this?
Just don't stone me.
Just don't stone me, yeah.
You know, many yeah. Jewish scholars that you hear talk today, you know, they understand that Jesus Christ is someone else, that Jesus Christ is Messiah. But you know something? They don't understand the Mystery Grace Program.
Nope.
And I've heard some really influential Jews speak on that.
Yeah. Go to chapter 10, will you? Yeah, they know a lot of stuff. And they puff themselves up, but hey, drop your how many of you really had sitting here today and listening? How many of you really had to swallow your pride when it came to this message and say, you know something? God's right. I've been wrong. I believe my mom, dad. I'm raising my hand. Because I know that I've been in churches that my grandmother went to because her grandmother went to and her granddad, that type of thing. I've been to churches where, you know, they put you as a deacon and stuff because you like to mow yard. You know, you like to clean windows or something, you know. And that, you know what, that's what a deacon is? A servant. That they're supposed to take care of your stuff. Let's move on. Keep moving. Chapter 10, verse 12. Romans. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich and all them that call upon Him. For whatsoever shall call upon the Lord, the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. The Gentiles are on the same footing with God today. Okay? Don't elevate yourself above God program when you're already in it. If that makes sense. Go back over here to the prophetic program. You read in Matthew chapter 10. Go to Matthew chapter 10. And get Acts chapter 22. Matthew chapter 10 and Acts 22. Matthew chapter 10. It's okay to use the same verses to illustrate several things, okay? We just... Yes, sir? Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 5. Okay? You should know this by now. These 12 sent, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go into the way of the Gentiles. They need you right now. Okay? Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye what? not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jeremiah is very, very clear in the fact that he says Israel has no shepherd and they're lost sheep. That's why you get that term here. And you know, sometimes I think about, was there any saved sheep here?
Who said that?
Jeremiah. Jeremiah is very, very clear in that. They have no shepherd to lead them. So when Jesus Christ comes on there, the great shepherd, right? He comes on the scene, guess what he's doing? He's going to the lost sheep. They're lost.
Trying to round them up.
As a good shepherd would. They wouldn't send a sheepdog. Mm-hmm. And that's the law of the saved ones. Nope. And Bob, that's exactly what I tell people in Paul's epistles. He never calls you a sheep one time. Never calls you a sheep. That's why I don't look at you as sheep, and that's why you don't look at me as a shepherd
or a pastor.
And can I share something with you? Do you know Moses married a pastor? A shepherd?
What's the difference between a pastor and a
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Yeah. Keep moving. The contrast side, if the ministry is based in Palestine only, that's where you sent them out, right? What about in the contrast of the body of Christ, Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Verse 18 says, verse 17 says, "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And he saw him saying to me, Make haste, get thou quickly out of Jerusalem. They will not receive thy testimony of concerning me." Verse 21, "And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto who?" Where is he forbade to minister at? Jerusalem, yeah. Okay? You got one over here, the ministry is based in Palestine. You got one over here, his ministry is not based in Palestine. Don't go there. They won't receive your testimony. You're not going to convince this little saved flock over here to change their mind. So you know what he does? He goes out to the Gentiles where they will hear you. Antioch. Okay, let's go over here to labor, the hope, the prayer for Christ's return as King. Okay, go back over here on the left-hand side. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. They labored the hope and prayed for Christ's return as their King. What would verse 6 say in Acts chapter 1? When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" The very first question that they asked after he died and buried and rose again, come back, what do they want to know? If they're going to restore the kingdom to Israel again, because what have they always been taught? The kingdom is at... Okay, they've been told all through their fathers and the prophetic program, the kingdom is at hand. Look at verse 11. "Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from heaven unto you in heaven, Shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Where are their hope at? Okay? He's coming back. The same that's seen you go up, he's coming back. Go to chapter 3. Acts 3. Acts chapter 3. Went down through these verses again, but you got to know that they labored, they hoped, they prayed for Christ's return as their king. What does chapter 3, verse 20 says? For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the what? People. Their hope was what? To listen, to wait, to pray. On earth, they labored. But in Paul's message, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The contrast to that is Paul's message explains his continual absence. Now, what we share in the past that you talked about when you talk with people, you share that Christ died for their sins and buried and rose again. Okay, that's the gospel. Then one of the things you could do is explain why he's gone. Explain why he's not here. Explain why he's not bringing the tornadoes that hit down, wiped out power and stuff 100 miles from here. Explain why he's not cursing and blessing in a way that he did in times past. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God, through Paul, wants you to understand something. Where's your riches at? Riches of the glory. Where's the Lord Jesus Christ at right now? He's up there. And that's where you're going to have your riches. That's what we should teach our children, shouldn't we? You know, everybody has to live in this evil world. We know that. But you don't have to be a part of it. You don't have to stand in it. You know, Christ made you soldiers, and he teaches you to stand. He teaches you to discern some things. Move over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. When we used to have this on our license plate. Ephesians 2, 6. Not the whole verse, but that we did. They wouldn't let you go with seven letters. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in where? In Christ Jesus. That's how you explain. Paul explained the absence of Jesus. He's where? Got two more things we're going to go to. Okay? Go back over to Mark 16. Mark 16. And get Ephesians chapter... Excuse me. Mark 16 and get Colossians chapter 1. Mark 16... Under this commission that God, Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, gave the how many? Let's go, well, verse 15, and he said unto them, what was verse 14? How many was in verse 14? 11. This is after Judas fell. This is before Acts 1 and 2 where they commissioned Matthias. It has nothing to do with Paul. He says, chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. Let's read it again. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be what? Now, what do you got to do? You got to believe, or you got to be baptized?
Believe.
You got to believe. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Recover. The commission to baptize in the signs as evidence of salvation. Okay, once you got saved back there, you'll be able to do that. And I know people today, being down from down south, down home, out in the woods, what do you want to say? They will some take the serpent side, but they won't drink the deadly poison. There's some will put their hands on you, but they won't drink poison or stuff. Follow me? They picking and choose. This verse says you'll do it once they believe it. Okay? Those are signs, aren't they? I was going to point over here to Drano, but I don't want people to think that we're that type of, you know, I'm just giving you some illustrations. Okay?
So if they believe that, people now, if they believe that they can heal and speak in tongues, and they should be able to do these things and nothing will happen to them, right?
Absolutely.
Just get away from them.
I was always under the impression that these verses in the Gospels were preparing the nation of Israel to go through the tribulation period where there will be, you know, poison and polluted water. And this was to help get them through that tribulation period.
Well, that might be a point to show them that there's a that they can,
yeah.
but right now they're saying you go to the world and you preach this and you lay hands on this and you drink this and it shall not hurt you. But they still had Acts to go through, Bob. That's Mark. So this is right after here. This is when he commissioned them to go. They still had the book of Acts to go offer them to the book, kingdom of hand. So
had they accepted Christ, that's what would have come next, right?
I believe if they didn't accept Christ, they still had to go. I mean, if they believed, we still have this to deal with.
Right.
I believe God would interrupt that prophetic program no matter what. Follow me? He had to. But Israel made that choice to not to believe. And that's why, you know, to be safe, no matter what, Christ was going to the cross. Y'all do understand that. Okay? Yes. He was going to die on that cross. Israel wasn't stopping him. Satan wasn't stopping. And Satan wanted him to die. Okay? But what kills Satan's policy of evil today is what God's doing through his... He kept secret away from Satan this mystery program today.
Otherwise Satan wouldn't want him to die.
That's what it says in Colossians chapter 2.
But
that's a good thought, Bob, preparing them to go through that. Okay? But God feeds them over here. See, midweek, after those 144,000 out there, the Antichrist starts cranking down on that little flock. Guess where they go? They run to the wilderness. And guess what he does? He feeds them. They don't have to worry about poisons, and they don't have to worry about snakes. What did he do over here? Dress rehearsal for the big stage event? You know? And he feeds them over here. And that Israel's called a she, by the way, over in this part. But let's move on a little bit. The contrast of that... They're commissioned to baptize in signs and evidence and wonders. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle of the body of Christ, in this age, he's not commissioned to baptize. He's not part of that 12. He's not part of that law program. He's not part of that kingdom age. Look at that, Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 14 says, I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. He did baptize, right? But verse 16, I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. Now, many of us believe that Stephanas is the Philippian jailer. Okay, the Philippian jailer. But look what verse 17 says. Christ sent me not to baptize. Who? There's two people God sends to baptize. There's two people that God commissioned to baptize. He sent John the Baptist and who? You just read it. The 12. So God did not send Paul as a commission to go baptize in the dispensation of grace. Right. Right. So if Paul was commissioned not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. What's the purpose here? You're preaching what? Not the baptism. You're baptized by one Spirit. And who's doing that?
God.
Hold your finger there and go to Ephesians right quick. I've got to share this with you before we leave. Acts chapter 19. Sorry, Acts 19. Paul goes to Ephesus. Okay? He writes, in this chapter is where he writes the Corinthian letter, by the way, what you just read, okay? I want you to see this. Christ sent me not to baptize. I baptized Crispus and Gaius and Stephanas, right? You read that in Corinthians. So he did baptize. But God did not send him to baptize. Look right here. Chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. That's in verse 9, that's in verse 30, that's in chapter 20, or whatever. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard any that whether there be any Holy Ghost. Got it? And he said unto them, Paul says unto those 12 disciples that they're there. Unto what then were ye baptized? And he said unto who? John's baptized. Who? Well, God sent him to baptize, didn't he? Repent. Be baptized. The kingdom of heaven is at? Okay. Then said Paul. Now I want you to listen to this very, very carefully. Okay. Paul is explaining to those disciples there what John's baptism was. Okay? John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is on who? That's a wonderful gospel, isn't it? So Paul, he said, believe on the one come after me. Then John said, hey, I'm not worthy to tie your shoes. You should be baptizing me. Talking about the Lord, right? Keep moving. He says, verse 5, when they heard this. Heard what?
What Christ did.
What you just read in verse 4. Okay? Believe on the who? The one that shall come after me? Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The 11.
Disciples right here in Ephesus. When they heard what Paul said, they were baptizing in who? Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So not getting off the subject matter here, John the Baptist preached that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's what he preached. He just didn't come out and say it, but that's what he's saying here. So let me ask you something. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Did Paul baptize these people?
Nope.
How do you know? He just laid the hands and, you know, received the Holy Ghost. They had already been baptized. But our Baptist friends will say, Paul rebaptized these people. Paul writes the Corinthian letter. Go back to 1 Corinthians right quick. Paul writes the Corinthian letter from that right there. And he says, I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. We're back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. Got it? I thank God I baptized no one but Crispus and Gaius. And those 12 disciples over in Ephesus.
No.
Is that what you see?
No.
Okay, keep reading. You're going to see it in a minute. Lest any should say I have baptized in my own name, have baptized the household of Stephanas and the disciples back in Ephesus.
No.
He didn't baptize them people. Or he would have said it right here. Follow me? I get upset.
With water. He didn't baptize them with water.
He didn't baptize them, period. God does the baptism.
Right.
So what I'm getting at is, don't make Paul out to be a baptizer when he's not a baptizer. I believe he did it ignorantly.
Well, the few times he did, he got the progressive revelation.
That's what we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I will come to visions and revelation. We got some friends right now says that Paul was saved in under the kingdom program because he got baptized under Ananias. I said, God never told Paul one time to go rise and go be baptized. He told Ananias to go find him and tell him. But let's move on a little bit more. Miracles and powers to vanish away. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is our last thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Maybe I wrote this wrong thing down wrong. Let me check right quick. Miracles and powers to be vanished away. Chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Verse 8 and 10.
1 Corinthians chapter 8, excuse me, 13. Charity never faileth, verse 8. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall be vanished away. Verse 10, but when that, excuse me, go back to verse 9 for a second. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that, what is that?
The word of my Lord.
You know, some people say that's Jesus. It's the knowledge. That's it. It was in part, and we prophesize in part. But that which is part, which is perfect, is come. Then that which is part shall be done away with.
Jesus was never in part, and God would never call him a that. He's always referred to as a he.
So when in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, when he uses apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, we have the complete Word of God today. You don't have to worry about, you know, in part. And that's why we can always encourage somebody about, if you really want to know what God is doing today, you get in the books of Romans through Philemon. And you study this parameter here. It's been set, the parentheses, if you will. You're sitting there. And then all the prophetic program will fall into place. Everything that you know of God, He's not a liar. Or maturity, right? Father, we do thank you for the day, and we thank you for so much in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.